Hey, hello everybody, and a very warm welcome to the latest in our series of AMBS Original Thinking podcasts. I'm Jim Pendrell, I'm the Research Communications Lead here at the school. I'm delighted today that we're joined to my left by Panos Konstantinidis, who's a Professor of Digital Innovation here at the school, and also joined by Vlad Giman, who is Director of Data at the M Brand Group. Welcome both. First of all, just very briefly, start with you, Vlad. Just tell us a little bit about your present role and your career, your background.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me here. So I'm Vlad Giman. I'm currently the, as you mentioned, the Director of Data for In Brown Group. In Brown is a top 10 footwear and clothing retailer. We have a home proposition as well, and we help our customers spread out costs through our financial services proposition. We own brands such as JD Williams, Simply Be, Jacamo, and many others as well. And I'm today responsible for the data strategy, the strategic data pillar at M Brown, as well as the group data function as well. And as a career, as you mentioned, it's been predominantly within data and within the retail space within the UK.
And Panos.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Thank you for inviting me. It's a real pleasure to be in the studio with Vlad. I'm Panos Konstantinidis, Professor of Digital Innovation here at AMBS, and also the digital learning lead for executive education.
Thank you both. So I suppose a starter for 10, which is a broad question, is the digital transformation. We see it everywhere at the moment. Every business is talking about it. Every organization is talking about it. There's a sense which there's almost an overwhelmed by data at the moment. There's so much going on, isn't there? Just tell us, Vlad, in your role, what are you seeking to achieve in your role? What are your targets of your life? What is your raison d'etre in Brown?
So I report to the CEO, and I as I mentioned, I focus on three different things. One is that I run one of the key strategic pillars of the business, which is called Establishing Digital Asset to Win. This is a directive that has come from us from the PLC and exec boards that said, as a business, as a strategy, data is one of the things that we care a lot about. And number one on the to-do list was, let's get somebody that they can actually do something about it. So that's number one. Number two is, just part of our wider operating model, I've established a group data function. So this is the various teams that operate within the data function that I run. And number three is that I've written, put together, and now executing the data strategy for the whole organization.
So no small feat there, whole data strategy for M Brown. Just tell us a bit more how you actually go about that. I mean, because it just sounds almost overwhelming, a data strategy for such a huge business.
So a data strategy fits within the wider business strategy. What is the reason for that business to exist, and then how does data enable the wider strategy? And for us, the data strategy at M Brown is, as I mentioned earlier, we're trying to establish data as an asset to win. What does that even mean? How do we become competitive through the use of data? And the way we look at that is that we think it has to be a comprehensive approach. We have to, data strategy isn't just the ability to create a data science function, for example. It's how do you approach the whole organization? How do you transform the whole organization to genuinely, meaningfully be empowered by data? I can talk about how we think about the data strategy, if that helps. For M Brown, the way we look at the data strategy is across three pillars, and these might be named differently in different industries, but they tend to perhaps almost cover the same areas. And that's one of the beauties of data, the fact that it's a language that works across all industries in a sense. But the way we look at it is that we look at the operating model, which is almost the capacity, the capability, the organizational design, our ability to integrate with the rest of the business, our remit and rights and responsibilities within the business. So that's the operating model. We then have the technological aspect to our data transformation. We call it the analytics platform, but it's effectively the end-to-end cloud native, scalable, modular analytics platform or piece of technology that allows us to leverage the economies of scale that we have across the whole organization. And lastly, and probably most importantly, we talk about data culture. How do you leverage the whole organization to be empowered by data, rather than how do you have a powerful data capability as one team? That's not sufficient nowadays to transform the whole organization. So I have these ideas, these three pillars, and they're enabled by know, the right financing, the right board support, and a few other things around. But the main three pillars are operating model, analytics platform, and data culture.
We'll come back to each of those in a little bit more detail in a moment. Panos, these are precisely the areas you've been studying and researching for many, many years. Just briefly, where are we at today, do you think, in terms of digital transformation and how far on that path, generally speaking, companies are at the moment from your experience?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting, and I want to comment on the three pillars of the data strategy. What's interesting is that across the industry, different sectors, also in the academic literature, these three pillars seem to be almost reappearing as, you know, strategy, which is the operational model that Vlad was talking about, the technology stack, and then eventually the actual organization, the culture, you know, building people skills, enabling people across the organization, not just individual data functions, not individual units, to be able to tap on new capabilities enabled by digital technology. So obviously the focus is on data, but I can see a lot of similarities with digital technologies. Where are we with that? Well, I guess Vlad will be talking more about this, but I think a lot of organizations are realizing the potential of data and the potential of digital technologies to transform their operations. But obviously, there's a number of different challenges, and different organizations will have different levels of maturity. And by that, I mean understanding what they need, how to use technology, but also, you know, making the leap from existing capabilities to the new ones that are out there, they're emergent. So I think different organizations will have, will sit at a different maturity level. And some will have developed a more comprehensive strategy. Others will still be struggling or just at the beginning of the transformation. And I guess, I assume that Vlad will be talking about this. You know, there's a lot of internal changes that need to take place before that transformation journey materializes.
It neatly brings on to that question, actually, internal changes, Vlad. What kinds of things need, you know, are you trying to sort of push through in your present role in terms of those internal kind of conversations and changes need to happen?
Some of the changes are horizontal across all the pillars, effectively. So when we look at the organizational model, there were disparate teams, for example, that were reporting to different C-suite before I came in, that I thought actually all of these are core data capabilities. So as an organizational design, not just almost centralizing, I'm going to call it that way, that the relevant parts of the organization into this idea of group data function once the agreement has been set, but also restructuring the teams in ways that create clearer communication lines or clear remits, etc. That's a change in terms of people. And then you have to change the organization in terms of how they feel about change. This goes back to just change management, not even data. You know, how do you get your champions versus detractors? How do you get the whole organization to almost be in that mindset of things are changing and therefore I'm in a completely different mindset, I'm going to help rather than I don't like what's happening. Change the skill set of the organization, change the technology of the organization. Change is probably the key word in any transformation, not just data. So it cuts across all the pillars that I mentioned with mm-hmm. operating model, analytics platform and data culture. At each step of the way, it's a huge change program, effectively.
Yeah. What's striking here, sorry, that is the word, you're focused on culture, actually, because you think of, yes, of course, new technology is required. We, you know, legacy systems updated, refreshed, etc. That's kind of almost going to happen, isn't it? But it's this culture point, which is becoming more and more prevalent, it would appear, and the C-suite being aware of actually what needs to happen. A question I had actually for you today was you know, the extent to which people like yourselves should be sort of now sitting on board, you know, so there should be a data person, want of a better word, actually, you know, really in the boardroom saying these are the things that need to happen.
There's two schools of thought in this area. I made a bet with my CEO that there's going to be more CDOs in 5 years than not. He suggested there's not going to be more CDOs, and we bet on a lunch in Manchester.
CDO being?
A chief data officer. Yeah. And so almost the highest seniority person who's responsible for the data remit within the business. Today, you know, I'm a director of data, I report to the CEO, I'm not a CDO, but generally this type of role within organizations. Today, in today's world, you see more and more CDOs, directors of data, etc., reporting to CEOs in companies. When you look across FTSE 100, FTSE 250, and even AIM-listed companies, you get a sense that more and more organizations think that it needs the right remit and gravitas and importance at board level for a transformation of this scale to actually happen and be embedded. For publicly listed companies, you may sometimes have a PLC board member as well, a non-executive director, for example, that is either coming from the data world or at least understands the data world a lot better, because often this level of transformation, the commitment that you need, feeds into PLC level discussion rather than just exec or just even lower than exec. So you see more and more companies adopting this methodology now, data moving away from marketing, tech and finance into its own function. How long that's going to last, that's almost the second school of thought. People think that perhaps it will, CDOs will turn into COOs, chief operating officers, much like the CIOs of old have moved into a COO role. So, but it's a new area, and I think that's why it's exciting. Mm-hmm. The blueprint isn't written yet. There's not many CDOs out there, and the industry is changing and moving and adapting. I think that's pretty cool.
Panos, in terms of research in this area, where has there been much done on the rise of the CDO within the boardroom?
I wouldn't be able to comment on that, but I would comment on the fact that data is becoming more important. Digital data is enabling new business models, new services, new products to be built. So it's really the core of the business now. I think we have moved away from an era where we were transacting with customers and our partners to an era where we're constantly building insights with data. And so the data enable you not just to reach out to your customers, but also to constantly be innovating new services and new products. Because the data insights that I have on you and others that fit a customer segment that share the same characteristics will allow me to potentially build new services in the future, and so on and so forth. And I think that's key, and I can understand how the point about, you know, chief digital officers becoming very important in the future.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's a title nowadays called CDD, Chief Data and Digital
Officer. This is getting confusing.
I think that's the point, when the blueprint, everyone knows what a CFO is, right? But no one really knows what a CDO is.
That's why I asked what it was good for. I mean, in a way, these things do matter, actually. I mean, we joke a little bit about these titles, but they do matter. And if and if companies in general are starting to say, yes, this CDO is a very important role, then that matters. Just get back to the culture, Vlad. You touched on before the importance of culture. I mean, it's obviously extremely important, but how enacting change in a culture can be very, very hard, whatever it is. With data, I guess, even harder to achieve.
It's probably harder because less people are knowledgeable about this area, and because it's new people. I was talking earlier about the tail wagging the dog, but in a good way, in the sense that the industry has learned that investing in a data function wasn't sufficient to change an enterprise. It was sufficient to build some internal capability, not to change the enterprise. And now the school of thought around, well, how do we leverage this huge scale of the whole organization is through this concept of data culture. How do you get, in the strategy that I've written, I talk about, I don't want to have, it's so easy to have 1,000 people in data, right? Give me more people, I need to create more reports or more analytics. That isn't scalable. I'd rather have many people across the business that are able to operate or use or leverage data themselves, but empowering them is so complex, so difficult. It isn't as simple as teaching them how to read a chart. It isn't as simple as giving them access. You have to have a full, comprehensive, rich approach to empowering people. I think that's the key word. How do you empower people to be self-sufficient in a way? Almost decentralize this idea of data isn't a function, but it is the organization. You talked earlier about the digital side. Every company now is a digital company almost. It's not a department anymore. Every single company that operates within this world today has to have a digital element to it. I think that's where data is moving as well. Data culture is how you get that to happen across the whole organization.
So it's not just about upskilling, reskilling, whatever it might be. You mentioned there, it goes beyond that. It's that person being able to actually I suppose, really understand the potential maybe of a particular technology or machine learning, whatever it might be, and take it upon themselves to actually say, what about this kind of thing? And is that what kind of needs to happen really more and more?
Because one of the things, when people don't know about your area, we often say, you know, previous to this idea of data culture, you would say that I have a data group, and then we would go to stakeholders, so say you're the business, right? And then you come to us and say, I want this from you. But if you're empowered to really understand the power of data, you will ask for better things. You will ask better questions of us, and we will, as an organization, create better things together. Whereas if you don't know what questions to ask and how to ask them, which is kind of the whole data literacy space, then the solutions that we co-create won't be as powerful. With data culture, once you leverage the whole enterprise, almost the low-level conversations are almost completely decentralized, and the interactions between the data capability and the business become much higher level, much more transformationally important.
And I think the point is that there is a continuous learning process. Right? You're learning from data, not just about your customers, but also about yourself, how you're doing business, you know, your operations, you know, the communications between departments, you know, running everyday business. You learn more about how to optimize, how to be more effective, how to be more productive, while at the same time also building customer insights. So I think that learning process is enabled by data, right? And obviously with the technology stack and the algorithms that sit behind it. But it's the learning process that's core to this transformation.
I'm glad you mentioned learning process, because we are sat in a business school, and you're also very involved in the executive education programs here at the school. In fact, you're launching a program, aren't you, later this year in just this kind of area. Just very briefly, Balance, what do you hope to achieve from that new program you're launching here, and in terms of this, what we should be talking about?
Yeah, so we're launching 16 new open programs in executive education. And this is the first time in the history of executive education in the business school that these will be open programs, meaning they're not customized for specific organizations, but rather anyone can attend them. And the key principle behind the open programs is that we want to build programs that are based on research, but also that draw from insights from industry. So my own program will be on digital transformation, and this will be a four-day face-to-face program where we will talk about all things related to digital transformation, including data, including the technology platforms, including the strategy that goes behind it, and the disruptive innovation that takes place when organizations engage with digital technology. But the program will be very much supported with guest speakers. In fact, I hope that Vlad will be, and I think he has agreed to be on the program. But the whole idea, and this will be a sector agnostic, technology agnostic, not
and that's really important. That's
yeah,
really important.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not focusing on a specific sector. We're not focusing on a specific technology. We want to cover the whole gamut of transformation that takes place across industries.
Yeah, great. Vlad, just back to yourself and the challenges that organizations face. We've touched on already some of them in terms of data strategy. I mean, one is obviously your workforce, and you know, what you just talked about before, you know, the need to sort of be more in tune, if you like, with technology, you know, actually understand the potential of it. You know, what would you say were the sort of the key challenges that organizations face in terms of the data strategy?
So I think it's almost the first 100 days in office for a CDO, one of the main things you need to watch out for. One is to pitch it right for the organization. What level of capability do you want to build? How comprehensive does it need to be? Because actually, you know, to the point that I mentioned earlier, which is every business is digital, you could say the data means everything. The data function could be the whole business. It doesn't make any sense, right? So you have to kind of place the right barriers, and that's where you pitch the function, the capability of the business. That's the first thing that you have to do, which is kind of your corporate governance, operating model type of space as well. Then you have to get the board on board, right? You have to get the exec and the PLC on board, because the level of commitment that you need for the organization to really do execute on and embed a big transformation requires that level of support. which is why, you know, we talked about CDLs and stuff like that, because you need that level of gravitas. You need to get your supporters, you need to get people that are either detractors, people that think, oh yeah, you're doing a great job, or people that genuinely drive what it is that you want to drive in that business as well. You need to get the funding. You know, it's as simple as that. The CFO will need to know, how much is it going to cost me? How much is it going to make me? When are you going to make me the money? And how is it going to help the business? And all these things are almost completely different skill sets that you have to be able to approach this from the corporate politics to the financial business, putting together a financial business case, to the tech bit. You know, there's a big debate in the industry whether CDLs need to be technically savvy or just business savvy as well. And I think they have to be both, which is difficult. And that's a big challenge, because if you run a big technology transformation as part of your data strategy, but you're not really au fait with the intricacies of it, you could either spend too much money or build something that isn't appropriate, or certainly not appropriate for the pitch that you've made.
We hear a lot about that, don't we? That perhaps in the past, business leaders thought, oh, you know what, that person there, that's what I need to speak to. Now they themselves need to know the answers as well, don't they? As much, perhaps. The skill set of that board member, that executive person, is got to change. Is that what we're saying?
Oh, I think that would be absolutely, that'd be fantastic. I think it's very difficult to get a PLC and exec board to be data people at this stage. If anything, there's almost zero data people on PLC boards nowadays. Maybe one exec member in the data space nowadays for bigger companies. I think there will be a world where more and more people will be more and more familiar with the concepts of data, the power of data, and how to leverage data in the future.
Did you notice that from your...
Yeah, what I was going to say is, Vlad mentioned earlier that all organizations are digital, or they're trying to be. And I guess we could distinguish between, you know, digital first companies, you know, the likes of Airbnb and Uber, versus a retailer that has bricks and mortar and they have been doing transformation for years, but they're now moving towards a more digital first strategy. So I would say that obviously some of the challenges that Vlad mentioned, you know, migrating from, I think in another conversation, Vlad mentioned brownfield type of transformation where you have to deal with all the stuff that you already have in the organization, legacy systems, etc., tweaking them, making them work for a little bit more while until you transform the organization with more greenfield transformations. And I think this dilemma or these, you know, opposing poles between sustaining the old and transforming the new is something that you find in most organizations, unless you're a digital first, like the likes of, as I mentioned, Airbnb, Uber, or, you know, TikTok, or, you know, Instagram, and these kinds of organizations that don't have to worry about legacy systems and legacy structures and legacy operations. Everyone else has to deal with, you know, the past.
Yeah.
And that's where you need to build support. You need to convince people, you know, there's a whole cultural transformation that needs to take place before you move forward.
Mm. And you touched on that before, didn't you? Your business has been around a long time, a very successful
160 years.
Yeah, one of the most famous Manchester businesses that there is, you know, and a tremendous legacy, just historically, you know, and it's an amazing business. And as Thomas just said, you know, it needs to sort of, like everyone else, it's got to move with the times. It's got to, you know, so there's no, you can't stand still, can you?
So it's, you know, it's, and or J.D. Williams, as it's called, there's a chap called James David Williams that actually was one of the first few people to send product through parcels through the you know, post office network back in the day. This is 160 years ago. So, you know, N Brown has been part of the fabric of Manchester for 160 years, which brings with it tremendous amount of legacy. You know, even so we used to have bricks and mortars. We don't have many stores anymore. We were a catalogue type business. You would receive a catalogue seasonal. This is the concept of autumn, winter, and, you know, that type of a fashion seasonality. That is actually still almost burdening, if I can use that word, the process that we have today in the business. Even though today we're just a completely digital retailer, we still have the concept of seasons and catalogues. And when you talk about personalization, one conversation of this person needs this item today versus I have this trend in the fashion industry that is seasonal. Some of these concepts don't match anymore, but it's so embedded into the business for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's quite difficult to shift, actually. Mm. Even if you change the technology, even if you change the people, they're still there. You just can't get rid of them.
It's a good example, isn't it? Historically, always seasonal businesses, seasonal catalogues, it's a good example, isn't it? Mm. It's like almost the culture of the business is so embedded in that, and then you've got to sort of go out from that and think a bit more widely. No, data can be, used in many different ways.
So sometimes it can be used to enhance
legacy
business models. If you still want to be a catalog business, you can be the best catalog business out there if you leverage the power of data as well. Yeah. It's interesting. It's always a silver lining to whichever way you approach the transformation.
Just moving on, I'm intrigued by you've famously said, I think, Vlad, that I'm going to make data boring. It's one of your catchphrases. What do you mean by that, and why did you say that?
It's just a promise that I made to the CEO when I moved to Enground, because I think there's such a high degree of hype within the data industry generally, and I think that is detrimental to businesses. Businesses tend to get too excited to overinvest at the expense of something else. So 5 years ago, 10 years ago, businesses overinvested inside your data science. Then they realized actually we couldn't get any of the value that we initially promised our data science. So it's overinvesting. And this is where we are today in terms of skill shortage. It's overinvesting data engineering or architecture or governance. Very few businesses are balanced. So that's one aspect of it, which is this idea of overinvestment and underinvestment. How do you balance investment across a comprehensive data capability? And the other one is that when today data is so exciting to everybody because there's a high degree of unknown. People don't yet know what they could get out of the data, and they're very hopeful, which is brilliant, right? Because you can turn that excitement into investment and actually transformation. But you do want to, as a business, get to a point where data isn't a function, data is a language, it's just a way that people operate. Everybody's empowered by the ability to meaningfully engage with data, and therefore, when you get to that point, that is when you get your return on investment finally, because everybody just utilizes whatever investment we've made. I think when people stop talking about data, that's when we would have succeeded. If they stop talking about it in the right way, rather than we're never gonna invest in data, we're not interested, we're gonna fail as a business, right? Mm. Once we get to the point where we have a sustainably embedded capability and we're leveraging it, let's talk about the next hype. Let's talk about some of the other things that are important to that.
Another point about data being a language, it's really true, isn't it? Can I ask you a view on that?
Well, data is a language. In relation to that point, I think when Vlad mentioned that in another conversation, it was more around this concept of culture that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Vlad, I'm using some of your own words here, but I think moving away from this idea of let's build literacy or let's build competence in data, rather that let's build a language, right, that we use to talk about our business on a daily basis, right? So a more, I would say, encompassing, more comprehensive transformation, as opposed to, go and sit down and do a course on how to manage data as part of your induction into the company, and rather, let's build a language that we use on a daily basis in our meetings, in our customer engagements, in our third-party engagements. I think that's what, right?
Spot on.
If I captured that correctly. And I absolutely agree. Again, it comes back to the point of we need to move away from transaction-based businesses to an engagement-based business where it's constant, and there's ideally a virtuous cycle of building insights into innovating new services and new businesses, new products.
Yeah, and in the retail world, which you inhabit, that is absolutely key, isn't it? I mean, those insights into your customers.
Fast-paced world, and almost the cycle you mentioned, I was just thinking about now, is insight, product or service, feedback, inside product service feedback, and you always have to innovate in the space. And retail is extremely fast because consumers are fickle, right? They always change their idea of how they want to purchase, where they want to purchase from. Especially fashion. Fashion trends change faster than consumer trends. So it's an extremely fast-paced business. And data gives you that ability to remain agile through the cycle that I think Panos just mentioned now.
Yeah.
It means that you can constantly adapt.
Just one final question was, or topic if you like, is AI. You can't, everywhere you go now, it seems to be there. We hear stories every day about it. ChatGPT is just one example of many the last few months. It seems to me it's reached a level, or the discussion seems to have really moved on the last few months. I don't know what you think about it. It just seems to me that it's becoming more and more known to more and more people. Does that help or hinder you in your role? That everyone's going, oh, lad, you've seen this latest amazing algorithm that we could use.
It's a great point. It's back to the hype, really.
And
whether that's useful or detrimental to businesses. If you have built the right data strategy, if you have built the right support and understanding within the business and commitment within the business, it is very positive, the hype, because it keeps feeding the interest. Mm-hmm. Whereas if the organization isn't set up in the right way, it can distract. You know, I can absolutely get the CEO to say, but I want ChatGPT to buy off. Brilliant, what do we do with it? But AI, you know, we should be thankful that we live today, right, in a world where there's so much research, so rich, so much opportunity, so much potential within the, you know, AI is such a vast field. You know, people talk about artificial intelligence, it's such a vast field. There's a million things happening in the same space. Today specifically, generative AI, which is kind of the area that you mentioned now, is one of the ones that has the highest hype.
Mm.
You know, a few years ago, it had been something different. Actually, just a year or two ago, it had been generating images rather than the text that we talk about in ChatGPT. And before then, it was more about forecasting and some of the other things as well, deep learning and some of the other things that we were talking about. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. As long as you have a mature enough board and commitment and organization within your enterprise for data, this chatter is actually very useful because it turns into innovation rather than into distraction. If you're not set up properly, it's a complete distraction, and it leads to that idea of overinvestment in the wrong things, disappointment, overinvestment, disappointment, and failure ultimately.
I think that's a very good point to end our discussion. It's been a really fascinating half an hour with you both. I want to thank you both for coming in today and sharing your excellent thoughts on this subject. Thank you, thanks both.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.